prostrate yourselves before God the Lord, weep, ask for forgiveness, and God, the loving Father, will receive you. A great stone lies on your conscience, pressing and tormenting you. Oh, let the angel of repentance roll it away, and your heart will rejoice in joy and bliss. Glory. Let your glory be before God, not before men. Whoever loves and seeks worldly glory walks the path of pride and arrogance. To please God the Most High should be your aim. The quiet glory of goodness finds favor with God, the loud, vain glory of this world is rejected by God. Seek the glory that gladly remains hidden, that does not know itself, that quietly works for God, the glory that flatterers and courtiers seek to despise. Only glory before God has value. Human work crumbles. God's work is well established. Meekness. Through meekness, you achieve far more than through vehemence. A good, childlike heart is gentle, and anger falls silent before the gentleness that disarms evil and subdues the most unruly hearts. You can, you should cultivate gentleness. Control your hot-headedness and your raging passions, be calm, gentle, and you will spare yourself and others much sorrow. Carry love in your heart, it makes you gentle. Harsh words wound and ruin much, a gentle word, however, smooths the rough and tames the rebellious. Consider Christ's gentleness. What an example! See how he was reviled and mistreated, and how silently he bore it all. Not a harsh word, not animosity, nothing but kindness. Even in death, he spoke, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Thus, he even excused his tormentors. How divinely exalted above all people! If you are about to become impatient, remember this, and surely, gentleness must enter your heart. Destiny. Man blames his fate for everything that befalls him. What is fate? A predestination, but since you do not know this, it is wrong to be a fatalist, to sit idly by and say, "I will calmly await my fate." That is not how God wills it. Man, help yourself, for you have God, faith, and the word of Jesus as your guide. Do good, ennoble yourself, fight against evil, and your destiny will turn out for the best. If you are master of yourself, then you are also master of your destiny. Therefore, do not be a slave to yourself and to sin. It is up to you whether you are happy or unhappy. Never give in to arbitrariness, do not let yourself be tossed limply by deceptive waves of fate, but steer your life's ship with a strong arm. Whoever recklessly tries to force something will perish. Patience is the surest guide, leading to the goal. Abide in the law, and it will be fulfilled in you. Abide in God, he guides your ways. Sleep. Sleep is man's best friend. It closes the gates of pain and suffering, it silences worries and sorrow, it refreshes mind and body. It is strange that this death-like state is man's best friend. The eyes are closed, the mouth is silent, and yet man is happy. The nerves rest, the brain, one does not think, one dreams, only the mind is awake, for it does not know sleep. Its service ceases somewhat, it can find refreshment and strength in spiritual realms. Sometimes dreams are a reflection of what the mind sees during that time. Thank God for sleep, O people, may he remind you of eternal life, for it is a reflection of it. You lie there like death, yet you live. Indeed, sleep is a condition of human life. So too is death only a sleep, a condition for eternal life. From death comes awakening in the life of the spirit, where all is light and day, in the life where there is no sleep and no death. Beauty. Superficial people consider those with beautiful appearances fortunate. Indeed, it is pleasant to have a well-formed body, for one is usually drawn to beauty. One is much more lenient toward the faults of beautiful people than toward the transgressions of ugly ones, for beauty possesses a charm, a magic, that casts a veil of indulgence over the human eye. But is beauty therefore a blessing? No, beauty is merely an advantage, often a danger, a temptation. Beauty attracts flatterers, which breeds vanity and a thirst for approval. This has already led many to ruin. Many a woman would have remained virtuous had she not been beautiful. Beauty in vice, how repulsive and ghastly. Only beauty that blossoms unconsciously and possesses a pure, virtuous heart is truly genuine. The world asks only for outward beauty, little for virtue. May your soul be no beautiful and perfect, for physical charms are fleeting and belong to the grave. Strive for the infinite and do not cling so tightly to the perishable. Always be ready to relinquish beauty and the bloom of youth. Strive for the lasting treasures of the spirit. Creation. A creation without a creator is inconceivable, because there is no effect without a cause. All of creation points to the creator. When one considers the vastness, infinity, and incomprehensibility of the whole, one must conclude that there is an infinite, wise, powerful, and benevolent creator. Awestruck, shaken, and filled with adoration, one stands there, stammering, God, Lord of the universe, how infinitely great and incomprehensible you are. From the infinity of creation, infer the infinity of God, from the harmony, cohesion, and order of the whole, infer a, on God's wisdom. There are people who, in their mental confusion, exclude the Creator from creation, a true delusion and madness. A force alone cannot create intelligently. Forces possess neither wisdom nor love, force alone knows neither harmony nor order. A supreme intelligence guides the forces, the great thought precedes everything, it creates. A logically thinking person must be imbued with this, and whoever cannot grasp it will never arrive at a correct understanding of the cosmos. Blind and deaf to the principal factors of knowledge, they will everywhere encounter unsolvable riddles and, in their own way, offer false, distorted explanations. But to the serious thinker, to the one who seeks the Creator in creation, truth and wisdom will be revealed. They will gain profound insights into the forces of nature, and the essence of creation with its riddles will be fully revealed. Creation is threefold, spirit, soul, and body or matter. Everything is immortal in transformation, nothing is lost, there is no death, for everything is transformation. God has all life within himself, from him comes immortality. Guardian spirit. The Catholic believes in guardian spirits, the Greeks also had protective spirits, house spirits, as did the Indians, Egyptians, and Parsis. The rest of this chapter is missing in the online version of the book. Yes, GT pages 186-187 are missing here as the concluding remarks to this chapter. Longing, which is located at the top of page 188 of the online book from which this is to be translated. Overview of the online books I found about Adelma. Everyone has felt longing. Even the materialist cannot escape a certain overwhelming feeling of the unknown. He too longs for light and truth. Longing is a spiritual matter, it is sweet and bitter. Even spirits yearn for the unattainable. Longing and love are one. Only a warm heart will feel longing. Pure longing yearns for God and spiritual things, it strives for perfection. It gladly renounces, is selfless, and desires only what is noble and pure. Another kind of longing, which degenerates into sensual desire and tears the human heart apart, making it unhappy, is sinful because it aims only at impure passion. Pure longing carries you to heaven. Sinful longing to hell. O man, let the former run free, but tear the latter from your heart. Self-control. A firm will gives self-control. Without will, there is no rule. Self-control is the best exercise for the mind. It strengthens and steels it. A person who never controls themselves is like an animal. The senses rule the mind and make it a slave to passions and desires. Intelligence and reason will cultivate self-control, teach children how beneficial it is for a person to become accustomed to self-control from an early age. You, your ego, should be the master, not the body. Keep your senses in obedience, let them willingly follow the mind. Practice self-control even in small matters, so that you may also become rulers in great ones. If temptation, suffering, illness, and danger should befall you, if the weak despair, then you will be strong in storm and tempest. He who does not control himself suffers twice. If you give in to pain, you will succumb. Control yourself always and everywhere, watch over your senses, seek your true self, let the mind be master over the flesh. Self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is the first step to self-control, for as soon as you know yourself and your faults, you can control them. Judge yourself as if you were a stranger, weigh your actions, be strict with yourself, don't think about how others do it, only recognize how you time it. Self-knowledge provides enough study and agonizing. Ask yourself, why do I do this or that? Why did I say that? What do I feel? Is there no selfishness in it? Am I being completely honest? If you examine yourself closely every day, you will first learn humility and then self-knowledge, which will lead you to self-control. Suicide. Suicide is one of the greatest errors. Whoever possesses the virtues discussed earlier cannot commit such an act of violence. The suicide victim does not end the torment he sought to escape, for the sentient being, the spirit, cannot be killed. With it lives on the memory, the conscience. Suffering and torment are only intensified, for there is no making amends, no return possible, all bridges are severed. Despair and bitter remorse then seize such spirits. Better to suffer on earth than in the afterlife. The numerous manifestations of the spirits of suicide victims paint a harrowing picture of their mental state. The afterlife, reached by force, is no place of peace for them. Numerous examples of this can be found both in old books and in the new near-death experiences that are now widely available on YouTube. Plus, for example, this old book. The suicide victim does not settle their accounts with earth, for now comes judgment. The earthly life and suffering they sought to escape would have ordered, smoothed, and improved so much, this is now impossible. Every act of violence brings suffering. We offer a few examples. A girl loses her lover and rushes after him into the afterlife, taking her own life. Does she find him now? No, for he is in a realm that she cannot reach as a result of her act of violence. Lamenting, her spirit wanders about, searching for him. Had she remained on earth, had she borne life with God's grace and patience, she would have found him blessed after death. A young man is in debt and wants to escape the disgrace of the earthly punishment he expects. He shoots himself. Is he now freed from disgrace? No. He must now see how his honor is attacked on earth, how his parents mourn him. His suicide cannot erase the stain, he now suffers doubly because he can make amends. Had he stayed, he could have made amends for his transgression through diligence, repentance, and work. What a blessed end, what a blessed life in the hereafter. So it is in all things. One man wants to escape an illness through suicide, he suffers more than here, indeed, he longs for the physical suffering again, since it now seems almost sweet compared to the moral suffering. Suicide never brings the desired liberation from suffering. The consequences of your mistakes must be borne, for the spirit is immortal. For memory and conscience live on and cannot be killed. Submit to your trials and wait in resignation to see how God deals with you. Sensuality. The fall of the spirits brought sin, sensuality, and incarnation. By deviating from obedience and humility, becoming arrogant and self-willed, the spirits fell into sin and, in their delusion, created sensuality. Humanity is a consequence of the fall of the spirits, therefore, all people are born in sin, in sensuality. The human body is meant to be a means of improvement, of mastering the passions, not for satisfying sensuality. The spirit, which is meant to be master over the flesh, is weak, sin resides within it, and therefore it should strive for improvement. Many try to excuse themselves with the weakness of the flesh, they are wrong. Always seek the sins and foibles within your spirit. You don't need to be an ascetic, a hermit, you don't need to sacrifice your body, no, strive to be holy and good within the circumstances into which God brought you into being. The senses are therefore not to blame for your erroneous ways, seek the fault deeper. There is also a sensuality without senses, as you will learn from the manifestations of fallen spirits, the spirits that come to tempt you. The lives of the saints, the experiences of mediums, tell you that there are spirits of sensuality who cannot relinquish their evil desires even without the flesh. Therefore, friends, get to the heart of the matter, reform the spirit, and the flesh will not sin. Sin. Beings endowed with free will, called spirits, have created sin. It is the consequence of the misguided, perverse first fruits, a violation of God's law. Reason became unreason, love became hate. The angel became the devil. This is what gave birth to sin. Without free will, there is no merit. God gave spirits free will, and it resides in the spirit, for their perfection. Some, however, misused it. Disobedience and pride were the first step towards sin. This belongs at the top of page 194 in the book. See here. Only spirits or humans are sinful because they have the ego. Animals do not sin, since they do not have free will. Fight against sin. The crooked should be made straight again, the opposite should become law. All evil, all misfortune, death and sickness on earth are consequences of sin. All this should be eradicated by reconciliation. It redeems from all evil through the first fruits of God, through love, kindness, gentleness, obedience, and virtue. Everyone should work on this first fruits, may God be with them. Spiritism. A new word for something as old as the world. Spiritism is the doctrine of the spirit. In our time, it has developed into a philosophy to which many thousands of people now adhere. Spiritism is Christianity, belief in immortality, communication between humans and the spirit world, a philosophy, a spiritual and intellectual study, no religion, not a sect. Spiritism differs from Anglo-American spiritualism in that it has, in a sense, clarified, regulated, and ordered the entire doctrine. It deals more with spiritual phenomena and proposes the theory of reincarnation, belongs above on page 195, ...while spiritualism rejects this theory and deals more with the physical, material phenomena of philosophy. There is no law, no dogma of faith for either the spiritist or the spiritualist. Belief in God. Immortality and spirit communication remain a field of free inquiry. These are the three things on which both doctrines are based. Spiritism is thus the study of spirits and the afterlife. It is a counterweight to materialism and is capable of destroying it. Spiritism is therefore not the work of the devil, not magic. It is the pure doctrine of the spirit, of eternal life. The spirit does not want a new religion. Christianity is its religion. Spiritism is intended to be a spiritual, transcendent science. He wants to glimpse into life after death. He connects humanity with the spirit world. He bridges the gap between the two. He says, there is no death, no separation, one will be reunited. Spiritism is meant to spiritualize the world, to improve humanity hand in hand with Christianity, to bestow peace, comfort, and love. It is meant to unite everyone in one faith, one flock and one shepherd, through battles and storms. It is meant to lead humanity to the better. As many people as there are senses, everyone will understand and interpret spiritism in their own way. This belongs at the top of page 196. Understand and interpret it. 195. But we advise everyone, take Christ as your example, start from Christianity, let this be your foundation, your support. Do not deviate from it. In Jesus' life there are so many spiritual phenomena, so many spiritual occurrences, every word of his is spiritual, that you will find enough inferences and conclusions from this for further research. Christian spiritism is the right path to God. Some people are put off by the word spiritism, while unconsciously carrying the entire doctrine within them. The spirit. A spirit is one who believes in God, immortality, and spirit communication, regardless of whether they are Christian, Jewish, or Buddhist. The Greek philosophers, the Egyptian priests, the Buddhists, the Christian apostles, and the Hebrew fathers were all spirits in this sense. Today's spirit research is the spirit and its state after death. They seek to explain spiritual phenomena through magnetic psychological studies. The true spirit establishes neither dogmas nor forms of belief. They learn and respect the opinions of others and will guard themselves against fanaticism and preconceived notions. 196. The duty of spirits is to recognize the equality of all people before God, to consider everyone as brothers and sisters, to practice charity, and to ennoble themselves and show others the way. His gaze is fixed on eternal life, all for his eternal salvation, to the glory of God. Magic, sorcery, and witchcraft have nothing in common with spiritualism. Its teaching is spiritual, clear, and open. For him, the spirit world is a fact, just like the human world. He has broken through the barriers that separated humans and spirits. He has only eternal life before him. He will not murmur or rebel against God, but rather, trusting in higher guidance, will peacefully journey through life. For him, there is no death, only transformation. Spiritual mediums. A medium is one to whom the gift of communication with the spirit world has been bestowed. Such people have existed in all ages. The seers, prophets, priests, and priestesses of antiquity, many of the so-called saints, those who had and have great spiritual gifts, graces, or talents, are and were mediums. There are highly gifted, moderately gifted, and even malevolent mediums, depending on the type of spirits they communicate with. Spirits recognize writing, speaking, hearing, seeing, spiritual, and physical mediums. Testing and exploring the types and stages of these mediumships is the domain of spiritism. Mediumship is a gift like any other. There are born mediums, who are born with their gift, and in some families, this gift is hereditary. Others can acquire this gift through magnetic transmission from another medium or through prayer. The presence of a magnetic field, nerve flexibility, magnetism in the blood, and a high phosphorus content in the brain are necessary to attain this ability. Every meditation carries a heavy responsibility. Only a religious, strict, and moral person will be a good, reliable medium, for good spirits are only approached through pure conduct/conduct/etc. People speak because they cannot intimately assimilate with evil. Impure spirits, on the other hand, will connect with mediums who are sympathetic to them. For a being gifted with mediumship, there are great dangers: pride, arrogance, self-deception. Test the spirits. Do not accept every communication as established truth. Pray that God may enlighten you and show you the right path. Beware of self-indulgence. Do not isolate yourselves with your gift. Share it with others, and allow others to observe and judge you. Every medium is sensitive and will experience odic magnetic influences as both pleasant and unpleasant. Clear seeing with the eye of the spirit is not always pleasant. One must equip oneself with love and forbearance. O dear mediums, dedicate your gift to God. Do not chase miracles and flashy effects. Be patient, humble, pure, and devout. Pray, and God will dwell within you. Sympathy and antipathy. Sympathy and antipathy are the yes and mine, love and hate in all of nature. Those who practice virtue, like all good things, evoke sympathy, everything is drawn to them. Evil and evil itself evoke antipathy. Sympathy acts as if magnetically attractive, while antipathy is electrically repulsive. The former heals and reconciles. The latter makes one ill and brings woe. The sensitive person feels these two forces particularly strongly. They make them happy, unhappy, frightened, and sad, healthy and sick. Love and friendship, hate and enmity are built upon these two forces, but the wise person will not be swept away by either one. They will first consider and examine, for there is also a sympathy that leads to evil, indeed often to ruin. Then again, there is an antipathy that arises unjustly and unjustifiably from within yourself, and makes you view everything with a false eye. Sympathy and antipathy, as I said, are natural laws, laws of magnetism, of electricity. Your love, your hatred for certain people often springs from a magnetic law of attraction and repulsion. Therefore, the morally thinking, deliberating mind must always intervene and not allow itself to be captive to either force. Follow, O human being, first and foremost the will of God, and only then the will of human beings, insofar as they intend good. Do not let yourself be swept away by sympathy and antipathy. Ask first whether everything is good, just, pure, and clear. Do not walk dark paths, seek the light, and you will find it. Devil. For the spirits, the expression, the concept of the devil falls away. For him, there are indeed fallen, opposing spirits, misguided spirits, but no devil, no eternal hell. Eternal hell cannot stand before God's infinite love and mercy, the devil cannot stand before his power. There are indeed lost, evil spirits, but they have no hierarchy, no kingdom in the universe, and do not possess a great hell. They are unhappy, deaf, and blind to goodness, unable to transcend the boundaries of the realm of sin and matter. Yet even to them, the light of God shall finally shine, even to them the truth will be fiercely preached and finally taught. The Spirit knows the power and cunning of fallen spirits and tempters, he knows the danger and will escape it. A pure prayer removes all evil elements because good has a compelling power over evil. Therefore, friends, do not fear the devil, do not believe in his invincible power, he is not so strong that a pious child could not conquer him. Work toward reconciliation and redemption from evil. Love, and love alone possesses this power. Fear of death. Spiritism, that is, communion with loved ones in the afterlife dispels all fear of death and removes its sting. The departed awaits, knowing that there is no separation. Even in life, he is in active communion with the spirit world, he knows the means and ways of spiritual revelation. Death is for him only a transformation, a separation. This communion is a comfort to spirits as it is to humans. The bridge to the spirit realm is borne by angels who dry the thrones of the forsaken. Even the Christian awaits death with composure, believing in the words of Jesus, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Spiritism strengthens the Christian's faith, broadens his understanding of the afterlife, and prepares him for it. The good spirit builds his faith first on the words of Jesus, then on the revelations he has received. Away with horror and fear of death, he is my good friend, through him I begin my journey home. Do not speak of parting, speak of reunion. 202. Consolation. The only and best consolation is in prayer to the Lord. Ah! God will then send true comfort into your hearts. He will refresh your soul and strengthen your spirit. Seek comfort from him who sent suffering and trials. No one who has prayed fervently to God on their knees rises without comfort. But your soul must soar to God. The world offers false comfort. Distractions are mere illusions that only numb the pain but leave the wounds open if God does not heal them. Therefore, go to him who heals all wounds, who stills all suffering, to God, the Father of all. Virtue. Virtue is to accomplish the work of world redemption, it is to be the victor, the power and might of unity and harmony, it, peace, eternal beauty. It is hard to attain virtue, but persevere on the steep path. Dear friends, first, lift yourselves up in the small days of everyday life, love the humble virtues that can blossom quietly in secret, without fanfare, seen only by God, they lead to greater things and to perfection. Inconstancy, a weakness that hinders progress in goodness and often spoils long, arduous work. Inconstancy is a lack of willpower. Combat it. Once you have decided on an action after careful consideration, remain steadfast in it, do not waver, do not be weak. Inconstancy is a will-o'-the-wisp, whoever follows it is led astray into dangerous ways. It scatters your time and energy, it is a true thief that robs you of your most precious moments. Remain steadfast, strong in faith, and God is with you. Ingratitude. You are, dear friend, far more often ungrateful than you realize, and indeed, toward God. Often you want to blame your misfortunes or adversities on God, on your fate, on people, instead of bearing them patiently and thanking your Heavenly Father that you have not suffered even more. Even harder things happened. It is ingratitude if you do not thank God every day for all that you have and enjoy.